from Exodus 18. You have led in your steadfast love the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them by your strength to your holy abode. The peoples have heard, they tremble. Pangs have seized the inhabitants of Philistia. Now are the chiefs of Edom dismayed. Trembling seizes the leaders of Moab. All the inhabitants of Canaan have melted away. Terror and dread fall upon them. Because of the greatness of your arm, they are still as a stone. Until your people, O Lord, pass by. Till the people pass by whom you have purchased. You will bring them in and plant them on your own mountain, the place, O Lord, which you have made for your abode, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. The Lord will reign forever and ever. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. My name is Kathy Kinzer-Downs, and I serve as the Director of Multicultural Student Services. It's my pleasure and privilege to stand before you just to introduce our time a little bit. This past summer, a handful of us from Geneva College went on what's called Returning to the Civil Rights Bus Tour that's hosted by one of our professors here, Dr. Todd Allen. And over the course of 9 days, there was a bunch of us who got to experience 8 states in 9 cities that were major sites and parts of the civil rights movement. We spoke and heard from key people who are still alive, who walked in those shoes, who fought and marched and spoke up for freedom. And this morning, you'll have the privilege to hear from two of those people who were on the bus tours, hearing about their experience, the things that moved them, and the things that challenged them. And so Rachel Cashdollar, a senior sociology major who was a recipient of one of the 2 scholarships that we give to undergraduate students to go on the bus tour, will be sharing with us. And then Lamont Downs, the coordinator of the Multicultural Student Services Office and director of the Academy, will come after that. Would you welcome Rachel?
Hello. Like she said, I am Rachel Cashdollar, and I am here to talk to you about the bus tour. I've been trying to go on the bus tour since I heard about it my freshman year. I was in a class with Todd, and he was talking about it, just promoting it a little bit, and I was super excited about it. And then this past summer, I was finally able to go on it. So at the beginning of the trip, I was told that I should journal on it, and I don't normally journal. I hate writing down what I'm feeling. I hate looking at it in words. It's just the thing. It's my thing. But I did it anyway, and I'm so happy I did. Because when Kathy asked me to come up here and speak, I drew a complete blank. So I was looking over my journal, trying to figure out what to talk about today, and today I thought of 3 things that really caught my attention and really helped me get through a lot of stuff, as well as helped me grow as a person. So the first thing I want to talk about is the age of the people that were part of the movement. And it was just crazy to me, because most of the people were our age. They were in their early 20s. They were people in high school. There were people in middle school even at some of the major movements. And it's just crazy to me to think that I'm just in college and I'm not doing anything to change history when these people were the same age as me and younger, and they were able to have such an impact on history. It also, it was also really crazy to see how apathetic our generation is towards things. We're so disconnected from people, from society, from history and ideas that really create who this country is. And it was great to see such young people take a huge interest and fight for what they believed in. And that really struck me. These people are our age and they are changing history. So the biggest thing I saw and the biggest representation of that was when we went to Greensboro, North Carolina, which is where the Greensboro sit-ins happened. This was when four young African-American men, freshmen in college, decided that they couldn't sit still anymore, that they had to take action. So they went into Woolworth, which is like a lunch counter, and they decided to sit down and ask to be served. Now, traditionally, you couldn't be served as an African-American at these counters. You had to either stand at the end of the counter and wait for someone to serve you, or you had to wait in the back. So these four young men, the same age as us, all sat down at the counter and just waited for to be served. And they weren't served the first day, so they came back again. And they weren't served the second day. And they started a huge movement of sit-ins across the state and across the country of young people just sitting there waiting to be served as human beings, to be able to have a non-segregated lunch counter where they could have a sandwich and a soda. And that was crazy because I can walk in anywhere. I can pretty much do anything. I mean, and it was the idea that these people weren't able to do it and that they were our age and they were so tired of it and so fed up with it that they were able to just take a stand. Another thing that I saw a lot of was the idea of community, and community was a huge part of the civil rights movement. They were able to come together even when there were differences. They had such a strong, they were so passionate about what they believed in. They wanted equality, they wanted the injustice to end, that they were able to come together. And so I was looking over my notes and I was writing about how community in the Bible and how community in today's society can be different and similar. And I think a major part that I saw was the idea of like a common goal or common beliefs. And here at the college, we all have a common goal of getting our degree. We all want to study and learn. And in the civil rights movement, their goal was the equality. And so coming together as a community and using each person's talents to come up and to help with the movement. So each person had different gifts. Martin Luther King was a great speaker. Ruth Harris was able to sing her heart out. And Thurgood Marshall was an amazing lawyer and ruled in the courtroom. So I was looking up the idea of community, and the body of Christ is what came to mind. In 1 Corinthians, we are called, we are the body of Christ. We are not all the same, and I'm happy for that. I love that we're all individuals, and I'm so glad that God gave us different gifts because we're all so special. And so these gifts that God gives us, we should be able to use to help each other. We should be able to use to further the kingdom of God. Oftentimes, as a community, we get caught in little details and stuff that really doesn't matter when we really need to focus on the greater good of furthering God's kingdom. And you can really use your talents and the community around you to help with that. So, and then I also, the big one and the most common that people often talk about is the determination that the people had in the movement. They were told that if you just wait a while, things will get better. They were constantly fought and tried to stop the movement, that they wanted equality and they just kept fighting for it, even when people told them not to. So one of the big examples of this was the Selma to Montgomery march, which was one of my favorite parts. We were at the Selma. We were in Selma, and we were on the Edmund Pettus Bridge, and we were able to line up two by two, two in a long line of everybody, and walk across the bridge. And it was an amazing experience because you see the film of students or people just walking across the bridge, and there's a sea of police officers on the other side, just ready to beat them. They were on horses, they had tear gas, they had billy clubs. and you're walking across the bridge and you're thinking of that experience of how such hatred can drive people to that stuff, to be able to just whack someone in the head, to grab them by their hair and pull them across the cement. And so we're walking across, and I'm thinking, this only happened 50 years ago. Such a harsh time in history only happened 50 years ago. And the fact that people kept moving forward, they were so determined to gain equality, they were so committed to the cause, they were so ready to give their lives, if need be, to get what they wanted. Even with all the obstacles they faced, they kept going and they kept moving forward. And the idea that we have come such a far way and we continue to go move forward and progress, and we are able to treat more people as humans, and because we're all humans, we're all equal, and their determination and their trust in God really was able to help the movement along. So, those are my three things. You can talk to me. I mean, I will tell you more about my experience if you want to. Like, just come up to me and be like, hey. So, that's really okay. And I also suggest that you really look into it. You can talk to Kathy or Lamont or even Todd. And I really suggest looking into the trip because it was such an amazing experience. Thanks.
Good morning. If I'm a little loud, I'm a little passionate, I can't apologize for my passion. So, so here we go. As I really went on this bus trip, on a civil rights bus tour, I'm reminded of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. And it says, "All this from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." Being on this tour reminded me of the price that is paid for reconciliation. A huge price in the suffering of reconciliation. And I'm also reminded of courage, of how courageous you need to be in the ministry of reconciliation and bringing people together and uniting in the kingdom of God. When I think about courage, I think about in 1963 in Birmingham, Alabama, where middle school students and high school students went into the front lines and revived the civil rights movement. You see, the civil rights movement was dying. The parents didn't want to protest because they did not want to lose their jobs. If they lose their jobs, they were not able to provide food or shelter or anything else for their children. So they had to back off. So the kids, which was amazing, high school students and middle school students, went into the front line and say, "I'll do it," just like David went to go face Goliath. "I'll do it." So, as they prepare for battle, they meet in the 16th Street Baptist Church in Birmingham, Alabama, and they sing praises to the Lord and sing freedom songs. And as they go back outside down the stairs and go into the park and getting ready for battle, they were singing praises to the Lord and singing freedom because they had faith in God that they were going to be free. But as they were singing, they know the price they were going to pay. So during that time, which was so amazing to me, again, the reconciliation, the price that has been paid, they've been fire hosed. They've been beaten. Kids, beaten. Innocent kids, fire hosed. And also sent to jail. And also bitten by dogs. They kept going. They didn't stop. They kept coming back. They kept fighting. They were courageous. Amazing. They were reconciling agents. And with that, that forced President Kennedy to react. And that was when the Civil Rights Act was put into Congress. Amazing. Amazing what kids can do. The change and transformation and belief in Christ and faith in Christ and standing on His word, and transformation happened. When I also think about the movement, I think about what Christ has done for us as He had reconciled us to the Father. There was a price He paid to save us. He was falsely accused. He was criticized while He fought injustices. He was beaten. He was betrayed and denied by His own friends. He was constantly on pressure each and every day. And what He has done for us, because He loved us so much that He suffered so we can reconcile with the Father. Amazing to me what God has done, Jesus has done for us. So when we walk this walk in the kingdom of God, there is a price we have to pay. Do you really know the price that must be paid to walk and live like Christ? And with this reconciliation, He broke down barriers. I just came up with this model of creating barrier-breaking leaders and the cost of what it is. You may be disowned by your friends. You may be betrayed by your friends. Your friends may not understand what you're doing, but in the end, even your parents may not understand, but in the end, when you walk in Christ, they will see the light. And I really think about in these times now, how God is calling us to be courageous. He is calling us to unite together. He is calling us to make a difference and transform this world through His power, through His love, through His grace, through His mercy, through His word. Are you willing to become a barrier-breaking leader? Are you willing to come in this fight of reconciliation? And that's what the tour has given me. A courageous heart to fight this fight of reconciliation, to fight this fight of uniting in the kingdom of God, because segregation can be evil. And Dr. King said it so profound when I heard this quote from him, and quote, "Segregation is like committing adultery. It's an illicit relationship between immorality and injustice." When I heard that, I was just jumping. I'm going to read that one more time. Segregation is like committing adultery. It's an illicit relationship between immorality and injustice. When you think of segregation, think of the word versus. Love versus hate. Rich versus poor. Versus. Hate versus love, rich versus poor. I want you to think about that. Separation from us, from the Father, think about what has happened to us if we didn't reconcile to God the Father. Segregation is still going on today. And that's why I realized the call of building up courageous young leaders for the next generation to break down these barriers. I think about the church today as I've been reminded going through the Civil Rights Bus Tour and thinking of now how in ways we have an affair with denominations sometimes, which denominations are good, great history, great tradition, but when you idolize it, there's a problem. And it causes divisions within the kingdom of God, where the common goal is doing the things of what Jesus has called us to do. Sometimes we can have an affair with money. So we put money over God, where you chase money, you make money, but give all the attention you need to money. But when it comes to your family, the attention is not there. Investing in your children is not there. And giving attention to your wife is not there. Think about it. Think about it. This tour has opened up my eyes so much. That's why I'm so very grateful to have a wife and getting ready to have a child with my wife. I'm so thankful for the grace and mercy God has given me to do the things that He has called me to do. Because I've been sitting on fear for a long time, and that was my mistress, fear. Fear was my mistress. I was afraid to do the things that God has called me to do. I was afraid to have people mad at me because of the things that I'm called to do. I was afraid. And going through this tour, I'm done being afraid. Each and every one of you has a call on your life. The question is, and I like this phrase, will you accept the challenge? Ooh, Geneva, that's Geneva's theme, isn't it? Will you accept the challenge that what God has called you to? Will you accept the challenge of the hard conversation that needs to happen for reconciliation to happen in your life, starting with the reconciliation with you and God and reconciliation with others? It may be a family member. It may be friends. Walking this walk is work. It's suffering. Will you accept the challenge? I always say this. Wherever you go, whether you're an engineering major, if God has called you to a different country to build a building that will bring economic stability to that country, you must go in there and learn the culture and learn the people and understand and embrace so you can bring change not only through people but in their economy. Whether you're an education major and it's called to go to the ghettos of America and to bring change in education because the education system is still segregated today, are you willing to be courageous enough to fight that fight for kids to learn equally and be effective and ready for college? You have what it takes, but you have to believe that, and God has given you everything you need to be a reconciling agent, a change agent. The question is, how long are you going to sit on your gifts? You must be aware. This is an awakening. And the Civil Rights Bus Tours has awakened me. So I'll leave you with those questions. Will you accept the challenge of the things I mentioned? Will you be courageous to fight this good fight of faith and really live for the Lord? Amen.